Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. The Almighty. Somebody say, I am anointed and I am aligned. Now turn to your neighbor and tell him, you've got an assignment. Get to it. Amen. You may be seated. The Alpha anointing, we have covered this the last 3 weeks. Alpha, the source, the beginning, the origin, the Genesis, the first. Anointing is the act where God sets us apart. It's what we call sanctification, consecration. But he empowers us, anointing empowers us by his Spirit for a specific purpose, assignment, or office. And we have really honed in on the words anointing and alignment. But today I want us to really dig into the word assignment. Excuse me. When we talk about the anointing, God does not anoint us to sit around. God does not anoint us to just walk around with a good confession. God anoints us for purpose. And when we are anointed and then we make sure we are aligned, we give birth to what that assignment is purposed in our life. And so last week, the alignment precedes anointed function. So you're anointed and then aligned, but the anoint or the alignment after you're anointed makes sure that you're able to carry out the function. The Alpha anointing, number two, realigns your priorities. I believe that there's a lot of great things that God wants to do in your 2026. However, I believe that there's some of us that God doesn't need to do a lot of new things in 2026. We just need to realign our priorities in 2026. We need to get everything in order. If you've ever baked or cooked something, ingredients are very important. However, the amount of each ingredient is very important. When the ingredients are added is very important. And so can I just go out on a limb here and say that there are some of us that need to reprioritize our life, because 2025, you had the right ingredients. 2025, you might have even had the right amounts, but you were adding what God wanted to do in July, you're trying to put it in January. What God wants to do in November, you're trying to add in March, or you're trying to give too much of this and too little of this. Number three, alignment keeps you in God's timing. Somebody say, timing is everything. Number four, misalignment creates resistance. Alignment releases God's flow. And finally, last week, the Alpha anointing realigns identity before activity. You have to know who you are before you can do what God has called you to do. Without knowing who you are in Christ, it will be difficult to ever do what God created you to do. But let's move forward. Aligned for assignment. One of our declarations, and I hope that you've been making some of these declarations in your life verbally every day, and it's important that you declare. Declaration sounds a lot like you're talking to yourself, because you are. See, when I say I'm anointed, I'm reminding God, I know that you anointed me. I'm reminding the adversary, you better watch out, I'm anointed. But guess who's the first person that hears what comes out of my mouth? These two ears. So sometimes I'm just reminding God, God, I know what you did for me. I'm reminding the adversary, you better watch out, but I'm reminding Brandon, you better act anointed today. You better walk in that anointing today. I am the Alpha and the Omega. If God is the Alpha of our lives, then every assignment in our life originates with him. You are not random. You are not wondering. You are assigned. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Alpha anointing proves you were assigned before you were sent. God never sends when he hasn't first assigned. You've heard me say this before, but I think it needs repeating. You know why a lot of people fail? Because they went when they were never sent. Or they went before they were sent. There's a story in the Old Testament where there was a big battle. And so one of the runners runs from the battlefield back to the king to tell him what he saw. And he was the quickest. However, he did not have the right message and did not know what had happened. And so when he gets to the king, he says, there was a great tumult. And he said, you should have seen what happened. The king says, well, what happened? He said, well, I don't know what happened, but I'm here first. And finally, the second messenger who stood long enough to see what had happened on the battlefield shows up. And when he shows up, the king says to the first guy, you need to move out of the way because the one who was sent and went, who has the message, has showed up. Can I encourage you? Don't move before God moves you. Don't make the move and then ask God, looking back, to bless the move that you made without asking God if that was the move you were supposed to make. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Your assignment predates your arrival. I need you to know this. Your assignment was settled before you ever breathed your first breath on planet Earth. So when God anoints you, he doesn't anoint you for something that has not yet been preached, declared, or prophesied over your life. He anoints you based on what he has put in you and what he has created in you from the beginning of time. And so in 2026, you might be 20 years of old saying, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God said, well, I created you for a purpose. I anointed you based on that purpose. I need you to get into alignment before you'll ever understand the assignment. You didn't discover your assignment, you were born into it. Heaven decided before earth revealed. Assignment explains why some battles started early. Man, this took me a while to understand, and I'm going to be very careful with how I preach this because I don't want to confuse you, and I also don't want to scare new believers. But a lot of times, you are attacked not based on where you are. You're attacked based on the anointing the enemy knows you carry. And remember, you are anointed for an assignment. Sometimes the enemy knows your assignment before you know your assignment. And so the level of your attack sometimes comes down to the level of anointing that you carry, but also the level of attack is the enemy knows your assignment, and he knows that if he doesn't stop you here, you're going to get to where God has called you to be, and there are hundreds or thousands or millions of people that will be impacted because you showed up, anointed, aligned to your assignment. There's a lot of us that are struggling with, God, why am I being attacked this way? God, I serve you. God, I go to church. God, I read my Bible. God, I faithfully give. God, I serve. God, I'm in devotion, relationship with you. And you are wonder, or you are confused or frustrated why you're under attack. You are not just under attack because you love God. You are under attack because God loved you so much that he took his supernatural spirit, placed it on you and in you and said, hey, I've got a job for you to do. And the moment you start moving and the moment you start walking towards that thing, the devil comes at you with everything he has. Can I encourage somebody today? You are not being attacked because of what you did. You are being attacked because of what's in you and what you are called to do. Your life makes more sense when you understand your assignment. What you're called to fix is connected to what you were formed to carry. Number two, the Alpha anointing requires alignment so that the assignment can function. Write this down. Calling gives purpose. Assignment gives power. Calling, when God calls us, we hear the purpose. But when we get aligned with God, we are aligned for the assignment, which means now I know not only that I have purpose, but now that I know there's a job to do and that God has anointed me for that job, on Sunday morning in January, I stand here saying, God, if you put your anointing on me and that's what you've called me to do, I'm praying that your power from heaven would invade my life so that when I show up to do that thing, God, it gets done. And I don't struggle like I used to struggle. I don't miss the mark, God. But God, I am your man or I am your woman. I am anointed. I am aligned. I am assigned. And so, God, give me your power to get the job done. Exodus chapter 40. This is so awesome. Verse 31. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. And they went into the tent of the congregation, the tent. This was the tent that they were moving while they were in the wilderness. And before they could build the temple that David's generation would build and Solomon would build in a solitary and finally a destination, they moved the tent wherever they were and wherever they were wandering. And so they've set the tent up of congregation. And when they came near unto the altar, they washed. And the Lord commanded Moses, and he reared up the court around about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. He's literally finishing the tent where it's going to be for the next some time. And then there's a phrase, five words at the end of 33. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is what we would describe as the Shekinah glory of God. But listen to this, church. The glory of God did not show up until the tent was ready for it to show up. Until Moses had finished the work. Can I just ask you a question? What did you leave unfinished in 2025? And you're waiting for God to move, but God is saying, I'm waiting for you to finish the work. And when you finish the work, what are we talking about? When you complete the assignment, I'm going to show up with my presence. I'm going to show up with my glory and settle in that place. Verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I need you to read verse 35 with me again. And Moses was not able. Moses did not decide to go in. He tried to go in, but the glory of the Lord was so thick. God said, hey, Moses, you set up the tent. You did what you needed to do. You finished the work, but now's my turn. I don't need you in here. My glory cannot be shared with you. My glory cannot be shared with Aaron. Can I encourage you, when you're anointed a line and a sign, you're going to get to the place where God's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, you did the work, and now it's my turn to show out. I will take it from here. Can I encourage somebody that drove on some icy roads to get here today, that can I tell you that 2026 is going to be a year of anointing, going to be a year of alignment, going to be a year of assignment, but I cannot wait until I'm getting ready to do something and God taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, Brandon, I appreciate the work, but I got it from here, because you can't heal, you can't deliver, you can't set free, but I can. But because you were anointed, a line and a sign, you put in the work, now I'll take care of the rest. And Moses finished the work. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, finish the work. Finish the work. Y'all, just stay with me for a minute. There's some imperfections on this altar that we built or had built that I'm not happy with. But I'm not worried about the imperfections because I haven't paid the contractor yet. And so the contractor, if you're watching, sir, God bless you. Tyler said he's not watching. He's not watching. Unless somebody sends this to him. He texted me this week. Can I come by and get payment? I said, you'll get the payment when you finish the work. Some of us are asking God for a payment when we have not finished the work. We have the nerve to ask God for the impossible. And God is saying, what about the possible? Why don't you do what you can do, and then I will step in and do what only I can do. When I'm talking about finish the work, I'm not putting that monkey on your back. I am saying, as a man of God, as a pastor, a husband, a father, a leader, that there are some things that I have to complete before the Shekinah glory will fill this place. But I am expecting God at any moment to tap me on the shoulder and say, your part is done. I need you to move over to the side so I can bring all of who I am into the midst. God will not fully anoint a misaligned assignment. Structure precedes saturation. God, I want your glory to saturate my life. God, I want Shekinah to sit in my life. God, I want you to never leave. I want you always here. I want the thickness of the Holy Spirit and the anointing to stay in this place. But all of that happens when structure happens. Bishop Jake said it like this many years ago. He said the church is a living organism, but that living organism rests on organization. And if you have a living organism without organization, the living organism will die. What was he talking about? It was in a leadership summit. What he's talking about is this. I've been to some spirit-filled, amazing churches that ran 18 people because they had no organization. I went to a church that started at 7 p.m., and I was scheduled to preach there. I got there at 6:30 on Wednesday night. There was no lights on, no lights in the parking lot, nothing was on. At 6:55, we're supposed to start in 5 minutes, the pastor rolls up. He gets out of his car, and he's going through his 80 keys, and he finds the key, and he's flipping on lights and turning on the air and all of this. And I'm thinking, we're supposed to have church here in 5 minutes. What's going on? Didn't start till 7:35. People streamed in till 8:30. And all of this is going on. What am I talking about? Powerful presence, zero organization. Then I've been in some amazing churches. I preach in these churches, see, and run 10, 15, 20,000 people on the weekend. And I preach my guts out and nothing happens because they're all organization without the living organism of who Jesus and his spirit is. I want us, and that's what Tuesday night for our leaders is all about. I want us to be both. I want us to have all the organization that we do everything that we need to do. But when we show up, God, here is our schedule and agenda. But if you want to sing that song, we'll sing that song. If you don't want Brandon to preach, and we're just going to have altar time, and the Shekinah is going to show up, and you're going to tap the preacher on this and say, we don't need you today because God has showed up. I want us to be that kind of church. But I don't want us to just be that kind of church. I want you to have that life. I want to have that life. We're on a normal Tuesday, an idle Friday morning. God says, all right, Brandon, I've been waiting for this moment. I know the worship team ain't here. I know all the intercessors ain't here, but I've seen you finish the work, and I'm tapping you on the shoulder right now. I'm tagging into this thing, and I'm about to show up with everything I am. Why? Because I'm anointed, I'm aligned, and I understand I am assigned. Many are gifted, but frustrated because they're trying to perform their assignment outside of alignment. Assignment without alignment will lead you to exhaustion. And exhaustion, most times, will make you quit, especially if you are not aligned. God anoints what he orders. Ooh. So if God has you here, and you're over here praying that God would bless, why would God has blessed there? Let me just tell you this. Sometimes God doesn't bless people, he blesses places. You know, when we talk about Jehovah Jireh, we talk about God providing the ram in the thicket. The ram in the thicket wasn't a person, it was a place. We say he blessed Abraham. No, he didn't. He blessed the place that Abraham happened to be aligned with. I want to encourage somebody. You might be 5 steps out of alignment, but if you'll get back to where God has called you to be, that's where he is blessed. That's where he is anointed. That's where he has promised to show up and show out in your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm aligned. Let's go further. The Alpha anointing protects you from stepping into assignments that are not yours. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, stay in your lane, please. Stay in your lane, please. We got a lot of busybodies in life putting their hands in your business. Don't want to be a part of your solution, but love to talk about it. Love to spill the tea, sip the tea, make the tea, share the tea. There, God, thank you so much. That's the first time I've heard that from a white person. For those of you online, I got to preach white boy from the white boy. Pointing fingers at everyone else, not understanding that three are pointing right back at them. Where if I'm really in it, I understand that I've got a lot of things I'm working on in me that I can't be always having my hand in your plate, in your business. Not every opportunity around you is your assignment. Can I just tell you, instead of gossip, pray about it. You know what prayer is? It's gossiping to God. I don't like how she's treating me. I don't like what they're saying about me. I don't like, can you believe she talked to me like this, God? Gossiping to God. Instead of your friend, instead of a text, instead of meeting at the coffee house and running your mouth, run your mouth to God. We better be glad that we live in the dispensation that we live in, because in the Old Testament, when you ran your mouth about people, God gave out leprosy. And it would be very easy now if we knew the gossipers at Living Way, because you'd show up with leprosy. Okay. Let's talk about staying in our lane. John chapter 21. I love this verse because it shows me a lot of who Peter is, which I so connect with Peter, just up and down and loud, and one day he's defending Jesus and cutting people's ears off, and the next he's denying Christ, and one day he's cussing everybody out around the fire, and the next day he's swimming naked in Galilee. I've never done that. I'm just saying. I connect with him in many other ways but that one. But John chapter 21 is a discourse between Jesus and Peter. This is right after Peter and Jesus have had one of their final conversations where he said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep." Said it three times. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Verse 20 of chapter 21, Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciple that Jesus loved. Remember who's writing this account. This is John writing about Peter looking at John. He doesn't say Peter turned around and saw me standing behind him. He says Peter turned around and saw the disciple Jesus loved standing behind him, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked. So not only is he saying, "I'm the one Jesus loved," he said, "I was sitting close to Jesus at the Last Supper." And he asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" Pointing to John. Jesus replied, "If you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." He's saying, John's life is none of your business. And I love that he's saying this to Peter, because if Peter needed to concentrate on one person, Peter needed to concentrate on Peter, not on John, not on Thomas, not on Bartholomew, not on anyone else. He said, "What's it to you what John's doing? If John never dies, that's between John and me." He said, "I'm talking to you, and the only thing you need to be concerned about is following me." Comparison is one of the quickest ways to abandon your assignment. Comparison is assignment or alignment sabotage. You don't want to sabotage yourself. The devil's out there trying to sabotage you. The devil will send his little minions and every demon in hell against you. Don't sabotage yourself. That's what Jesse Duplantis said. He said, "Too many people talk about Jesse for free." He said, "I'm not going to talk bad about Jesse." They're doing that all over the world. Concern your assignment, concerning your assignment, it all comes down to you. And so do not sabotage. Stay in your lane, because that's where your anointing is. Your oil is in your lane, not in someone else's. You can admire someone else's calling without trying to assume their calling. Admiration is noble. Collaboration is needed. However, comparison and attempting to hijack someone else's assignment is dangerous. I admire a lot of people, but I don't want to be a copy of anyone else. I want to be the original Brandon Fender. I don't want anybody to be like me. And people say all the time, "Oh, you and your dad are so similar." We are similar because I was raised in his house, but he has an anointing. I have an anointing. Pastor Becky has an anointing. Pastor Mandy has an anointing. Jaden has an anointing. Tyler has. We all have our different anointing. And can you imagine if we were all like Bishop, if we were all like Mandy, and if we were all like my brother? That one's scary. If we were all like each other, but we've all got our lanes. I'm not trying to hijack your assignment. And people will say it lovingly, "Oh, you're the next so-and-so." No, I'm not. I'm me. We had a great, great worship leader here during the conference. Her name's Lizzie Morgan, and she worships all over the world, leads worship everywhere. And Jaden absolutely slayed the last day of conference. She sang back up the whole conference. In the last service, they turned her loose. And when I say turned her loose, turned her loose. And I was walking through the back, and there was a bunch of older white women. And they were gathered around her and they said, "Oh my God, you're so amazing. You're the next Lizzie Morgan. But I want to remind my daughter, you're Jaden Fender. You're not the next anything. You're the now Jaden. And I love Lizzie. And I love Elevation Worship. And I love Lakewood Worship. And I love all of these worship leaders. But I don't need a next. I need you to be the now person God has called you to be. I need you to be anointed now, aligned now, assigned now." Distraction is the enemy of assignment. You lose power when you step out of your assignment. You lose power when you step out of alignment. My bedroom, Pastor Manny and my bedroom, we're on, it's on the back of the house, and so we're actually three exterior walls. And as I woke up this morning, the first thing I did was check my text messages, check any missed phone calls, because when your boy goes to sleep, I turn my phone on silent. World War III could happen and be over. If we get raptured in the middle of the night, I'm waking up in heaven. So I check my phone, check my text messages, check the weather because of what's going on today. And it was, I think, 18 degrees. And I just thought, there is this much space between my head and 18 degrees. Because that exterior wall that separates the outside from the inside. Some of us feel comfortable because, well, I'm only this much out of alignment. But this much out of alignment last night would have killed me. But I slept like a baby last night because I was where I was supposed to be. Where was I supposed to be? In my house with the power and the heater on. And I still had my two fans on, praise God, because I'm a Texas boy. Out of alignment is still out of alignment, whether it's a mile or an inch. So don't get comfortable where you are today. And don't say, "Well, I'm better than I used to be." That is a good testimony. But I'm better than I used to be, but I'm still, praise God, moving towards faith, moving towards future, moving towards alignment. Number four, the Alpha anointing. I know I'm out of time. The Alpha anointing. Where are we going, though? It's icy out. The Alpha, well, some of you got to get to a game at 2 o'clock, but we got an hour and 40 minutes, so we're good. I got two more points, an hour and 40 minutes. So was that 50 minutes each? Okay, 50 minutes each point. Stay with me. The Alpha, someone said take their time. God bless you, sis. The Alpha anointing activates authority for the assignment. Assignment always comes with authority. Luke 10, verse 19, "Look, I've given you authority over all of the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Walk among snakes. Now, some of our Pentecostal brothers and sisters, this would be the time that they got rattlesnakes out and started passing them around. So ushers, if you could, no, just kidding, just kidding. I've never been bit by a snake, but I've been stung by lots of scorpions. We have them everywhere at my house. Now, I believe that this can be a physical interpretation. But for our sermon today, it's not the rattlesnakes you should fear. It's not the rattlesnakes you should be concerned about in South Texas. It's the snakes at your job. It's the snakes in your family. Some of them have the last name as you. It's your baby mama, your baby daddy. Some snakes are sitting in this room. So how dare you say that? Jesus said it first when he called the religious leaders vipers. But what did he say? He said, "You can walk among them. They're under your feet. They're defeated. They can sting you. They're around. They can come against you. But you will crush them. Nothing will injure you." God never assigns his people without empowering his people. I got great news, church. You do not need permission from people to walk in God's given authority. What they say about you does not matter. God did not check in with them before he gave you your anointing. God did not ask their permission before he assigned you. God is not checking in with them to make sure you are aligned. God spoke to you, and it doesn't matter what your pastor says, doesn't matter what your mama said, doesn't matter what the people of your past says. anointed you, then God has authorized you. If God assigned it, he authorized it. Stand on your feet. Got one more point I'm going to make. You stand on your feet, we'll put a little pressure on me. I was walking, everything preaches a sermon to me. I was walking down this hallway and meeting some people during the conference last week, and it was great meeting them. But then I started walking out around in the hallways and then across the back of this room during the services. And they had brought security detail from California and Carolina, South Carolina. And of course, it's a women's conference. And so you don't want men you don't know hanging around a women's conference. And so remember, I've been here from the beginning of this building. I've been here for 44 years. And their head of security said, "Sir, can I help you?" I said, "I don't know, what you got?" He said, are you a part of the team here?" I said, "Oh man, yeah, I'm the pastor here." "Oh, I'm so sorry, I just didn't know you." And he said, "None of our guys know you, so you're probably gonna get stopped a lot. Let me give you this badge." And the old Brandon would have been said, "I don't need your stinking badge." I said, "You know what, I want the badge because I don't wanna have this conversation 57 times over the next 3 days." So I put on the badge because it gave me authority, authorization to walk behind doors that everyone didn't have access to. To go places everyone didn't have access to. And I don't know, but the one they gave me had some letters on it that weren't on everyone else's badges. So I think that one secretly was like, "This is the pastor of this church. Don't go crazy on him." Can I tell you that God has authorized you? And it's not just any authorization, but you have authority with his name on it. Which means in 2026, because you're anointed, aligned, assigned, you get to go behind doors that you've never been able to walk through. You're going to places that you were not authorized to until he said they're anointed. They have aligned themselves. They have said yes to the assignment. And he said, all of heaven's authority. Luke chapter 9 verse 1 is not in my notes, but I just have always loved this scripture. And God called his disciples together and gave them power and authority. Brother David Rodriguez, wave your hand at everybody over here. I love Brother David. He works for Bexar County Sheriff's Department, correct? Bexar County Sheriff's Department. Both David and I, we own guns. We both have the power to shoot a firearm. But there's only one of us that has authority because he has the badge. Some of us have been wielding power with no authority. And then you wonder why people don't listen to you. You wonder why demons don't flee. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who in the hell are you? That would be the Brandon Amplified version. I know all of them. And the name you use, that's power. You don't have authority. But as the believers in this room, I know if you got out on the ice today, we are anointed people, but we are authorized people. We are aligned people. I want to open the altar right now for those of you in this room. It's not just about the anointing, although we want to anoint as many people that want to be anointed. We want to anoint your head. We want to anoint your feet. We want to anoint your pocketbook, your checkbook, your wallet, your purse, your bag, your job application, whatever it is, we will anoint anything and everything. However, we're doing our best to get you aligned, but this is an assignment call. God, I want to know my assignment, or God, I know my assignment and I'm ready to say yes. God doesn't abandon what he assigns. The Alpha anointing will complete the assignment it started. Acts chapter 20, the writer says, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work." Remember, Moses finished the work. My life is worth nothing unless I finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Finishing matters to God, church. Here is a freedom statement that I believe is going to bring freedom to so many people in this room and watching online today. You don't have to do everything. just your assignment. That's all God holds you accountable to, is what he assigned you to do. You don't have to do everything, just what he put your hands, the plow he put your hands on, that's all you have to do. Endurance is proof of alignment, making it to the end of this. Our altars are already filling up. People are already praying. If this is your first time at Living Way, this is a safe place for you to come to this altar. We're not going to ask you to share all of your goings on and what's happening in your life. This is a moment right here for you. Right here for you. Bowed on their knees. This is a moment for you to say, God, I know you put your anointing. Your spirit is on me and in me. God, I'm more aligned now than I've ever been. But God, that assignment has been staring me in the face for years. Or that assignment is being awakened in me this morning. God, in this place, God, Lord, men and women, leaders are in this altar. New faces are in this altar. Right now, where they are, you are, God. And like Moses, tap them on the shoulder and say, I'll take it from here. If you're in this house and you need Jesus as Savior, this is your moment. We don't want to move past this moment. You are lost without Christ. There's no way to get to heaven outside of Christ. We are here to introduce you to him. If you've never met him as Savior, this is your moment. If you need to reprioritize your life and make him Lord, this is your moment. If you want to be baptized in water, this is your moment here on this cold Sunday. We're going to make that happen. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment.